This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi-ithnillah, today we will be going over some of the stories in the 19th juz. The 19th juz is full of stories. Allah Jalla wa Ala makes mention of the Anbiya, a lot of them in quite a bit of detail. He speaks about Musa alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, and many of the other messengers. Thereafter he moves on, or Suratul Naml, Allah Jalla wa Ala then speaks about the story of the ant in the last part of this week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And we hope all those who are following are all well. The second third of Ramadan has almost come to an end. You know, we're on the 19th juz, which means we're about to reach 20 days soon, inshallah. We ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to make us from those who are able to benefit from these days, and we ask Him to accept our good deeds. Ameen.
Ameen, ameen.
Today, Shaykhana, we've got the 19th juz. There's a lot of stories mentioned in this juz. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the messengers, a lot of them, and He speaks about them in quite a bit of detail. A lot of the stories we've touched on before, the ones which we will touch on today, bi-ithnillah, are maybe stories or different angles we haven't touched on. Even if it's the same story, a different angle. Or sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a Nabi, for example, Sulaiman alayhi salam, but he mentions a different story, as we will see later on, bi-ithnillah, the story of the ant, and the story of, you know, one of the queens who was ruling somewhere else, and he sent her a letter. The first story we want to speak about is the story of Musa alayhi salam. Again, the story of Musa alayhi salam is repeated in many places in the Quran. A lot of the times, you know, sometimes it's the same story being mentioned a little bit differently or from a different angle, or sometimes there's something new altogether. In this story, or the story we want to touch on today, Musa alayhi salam has obeyed the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taken Banu Israel, and they're escaping, they're running away from Fir'aun at night or the early hours of the morning. They then go and they find a place, or they reach the sea. When they reach the sea or the ocean, they find that Banu Israel think that they cannot pass now. Fir'aun is behind them. They eventually see Fir'aun and they say, فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَ الْجَمْعَانِ قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. The people who are with Musa, they said, now we're going to be caught. We've come all the way and now there's a sea in front of us, Fir'aun behind us, and you know, we're most definitely going to be caught. For me, what stands out, Musa alayhi salam says, قَالَ كَلَّا. He says, never, nay, it's impossible for this to happen. Inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. Indeed, my Lord is with me and He will guide me. Musa alayhi salam, yes, he took every, you know, he took by all means that he had. He escaped with the people. He ran with them. They carried on going. He did all that was in his ability or his capacity. They eventually reached the sea. He knows from here, his people might think that they're going to be caught, but he knows that there is no chance that Allah is going to leave him here. There is no chance that Allah is not going to save him. And he has this yaqeen, he has this conviction that most definitely the road is going to open somehow. Inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. Indeed, my Lord is with me. And I think that's important for all of us to, you know, derive a lesson that so many times we go through difficulty. We find where we reach a wall or a hard place in life, and especially after we've tried everything, have this conviction, have this yaqeen. Look at how this was the day of Ashura. We fast this day, as was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the reasons was because Musa alayhi salam was saved on this day. And this day of Ashura is also a reminder for us. Look at the story of Musa alayhi salam. Through difficulty, through the most difficult of times, with the biggest of tyrants behind him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was still able to save him.
Absolutely, subhanallah. That's very well put by yourself there, mashallah. Definitely, it's something that we can all learn from. The sea in front of him, Fir'aun behind him, yet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me and he will guide me. So something that we can really all learn from. Just before that, we find that Banu Israel say, inna lamudrakun, when they saw the army of Fir'aun, and Fir'aun could see them, then they felt like, now it's over, and they said, look, we have been caught. I think the lesson that we learn from this is that never say it's over until it really is. You know, don't give up until you really finished and done with. If you have a sliver of a chance, keep trying, keep going, keep giving it your best. And you never know, right at the end, when there's a small chance of you achieving what you want, it might just open up and you achieve it. So don't say it's over until it is. And I think this can, it resonates with those who play sport, etc. When the game is, you feel now there's no chance, you're not going to win, you can still give it a go and give it a chance, give it a shot, because you might just win, or you might just do something in those last moments. Those who watch sport know this very well, because their team might be losing right until the end, and then they score a goal and they win the game. Or they have a chance at the tournament or the cup that they're playing for, etc. So this is something that we can all learn from in our from the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, where they felt that, look, we have been caught. Yet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, at this time, whilst they were feeling this way, he had a very different perspective and way of looking at things. So we can all derive a lesson from this, I think.
You mentioned such an important point. The game of life, if we can put it, as long as you're still breathing, then there's a chance to do so much. You know, there's so many good deeds you can do, no matter how small they may be. You can also achieve in your worldly life whatever you need to achieve or earn. And as you mentioned, it's never over until it's over. So as long as you're breathing, as long as you still have that life in you, there's a lot you can do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all the tawfiq. Sheikhana, is there anything else you'd like to mention before we move on to Surah An-Naml?
I think there was one more thing. We see how Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Sorry, no, I think that's it.
After the story of Musa alayhi salam, in the surah, Allah Jalla wa Ala mentions many of the messengers, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, and at the end he mentions Shu'aib. For those who are able to, it's important to read through these stories again. We've touched on quite a few of them from different angles, and we'll move on, inshallah, to Surah An-Naml. Allah Jalla wa Ala makes mention of a different story. Surah An-Naml, which means basically the chapter of the ant. In the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again speaks about Musa alayhi salam at the beginning. After that, he speaks about Dawood and Sulaiman alayhim as-salatu was-salam, two kings, two nabis. They were given kingdom, they were given knowledge, they were given wealth, they were given everything. And Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah Jalla wa Ala mentions, وَحُشِرَ لِسُلَيْمَانَ جُنُودُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَالطَّيْرِ فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ. Sulaiman alayhi salam had a huge army, all sorts of things from the birds and from the jinn, and لِسُلَيْمَانَ جُنُودُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ, and from human beings, etc. Basically, everything was under his control, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. When he was walking once with his army, they were marching, wherever they may have been going. They were passing a place and there were some ants in the front. One of these ants heard this army coming. So she goes, or she calls out to the rest of the ants, Ya ayyuhan naml, O ants, O fellow, ants, Udkhulu masakinakum, enter into your houses or your homes. La yahtimannakum Sulaiman wa junuduh, so that Sulaiman and his army don't crush you. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, and not because they want to crush you, but because they don't really know. It's such a huge army and you are so small. There's a lot of lessons we take from this story. One of them being, look at how one ant, just one, saves a whole nation or a whole community of ants. In the same way, Allah Jalla wa Ala mentions, as we will see in the next juz, Musa alayhi salam, he saved by one person, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ وَجَاءَ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. One man is coming to Musa alayhi salam and he tells Musa, you know what? The people want to kill you. You carry on to Madian. In the story, In other stories of the Quran, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these single people, one person or two people, the ones who told Banu Israel to enter the city. And this teaches us that sometimes you may be alone, but yes, don't think you great, but also at the same time, don't underestimate yourself. Bi-ithnillah, you are able to benefit, you know, a whole community, a whole nation, an entire planet. Who knows? Allah knows. But bi-ithnillah, from this we take that, you know, don't really look down on yourself. What benefit you have, give it. You don't know who will benefit.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. That's an amazing derivation, so to speak, from the story of the ant and how he, you know, it said to the rest of them that enter into your homes. Yet it was only one ant and it saved all of this whole community. I think that's something that we can really benefit from. Sometimes we feel like our voices are too small to ever be heard or ever benefit. But in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how far, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how far they can go. So that's something amazing. Yes, absolutely. You know, in the story, in this story as well, we find that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was missing the hoopoe bird that was from his army. And he says, look, if it doesn't come back, لَأُعَذِّبَنَّهُ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا أَوْ لَأَذْبَحَنَّهُ. When it comes back, either I will punish it as a severe punishment or I will slaughter it. أَوْ لَأَذْبَحَنَّهُ أَوْ لَيَأْتِيَنِّي بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. Or it should come to me with some sort of clear evidence as to what it was up to, where it was, why it absconded from the army, so to speak. Now, later on, when the hoopoe bird comes back, it comes back with some news, and it says, فَمَكَثَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ فَقَالَ أَحَطْتُ بِمَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ. It didn't stay very long, and it came back with some news. It says, look, I know something that you don't know, O Sulaiman. مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ وَجِئْتُكَ مِنْ سَبَئٍ بِنَبَئٍ يَقِينٍ. And I've come to you from the people of Saba with a clear and proper news, a correct news from them. So the fact is that he tells Sulaiman, or this hoopoe bird tells Sulaiman, that look, I know something you don't know. Now, it's not for me and you to say that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam didn't know what the hoopoe bird knew. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that, look, this hoopoe bird knew something that Sulaiman didn't know. Yet he had all of this kingdom, all of this might, with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is literally giving us the idea that, look, you may have everything in your life. You may have knowledge, but you don't have certain things. There are certain things that are perhaps even someone smaller than you may have. Yet you are missing or you lack in your life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam that there are certain things that are beyond you, even though you have all of this dominion and kingdom and all of this that is before you. You know, sometimes, and of course it wouldn't in the case of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, but sometimes when we have all of this kingdom, it gets to our heads, or we think that, oh, we can do so much, or, you know, because we've got so much power, then nothing can take it away from us, or we know everything, or, you know, something of that nature. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him a lesson in humility from this hoopoe bird, you know, for him to learn something. Of course, he is a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We love him, we respect him, and we never mention something bad about him. But this is, of course, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we mention that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned.
A very important point, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, or as he says, that this bird told Sulaiman alayhi salam that it had knowledge which Sulaiman alayhi salam didn't have. Another point we can add there is there's nothing wrong. In fact, you would find that people who you may see as lower than you or less knowledgeable, maybe you're a teacher and you have a student, maybe you're in business and you have somebody working with you, maybe you're at home and you have your children, at times they will know things, or they will know much more in certain things than you know. So benefit from them. Sulaiman alayhi salam didn't, you know, he didn't just leave this bird and say that, oh no, what you're talking about, I have all the knowledge and the kingdom, and if this was the case, I would have known before you and reject. No, he didn't do that. He sent his letter with this bird, and this bird eventually went. So also in our lives, you know, there's nothing wrong. The people around you, learn from them. You will pick up skills and you will learn lessons just from those around you, those in the house, from who or from other people. If you look at other people, you wouldn't find these skills prevalent in them, because when you're living amongst the people, when you're living with a family or you interact with certain people, you'll find, yes, they may have their flaws and mistakes, but they also have their good points. And these good points, if you're able to take them, benefit from them, use them to your advantage, bi-idhnillah, you would see a lot of benefit.
Absolutely, subhanAllah. That's also another benefit that has been derived there, which is to say that, you know, not everything was bad about the hoopoe bird, so to speak. It had good characteristics also. Although it had absconded or left the army, it came back with some benefit. So, subhanAllah, you benefit from what you can and leave the rest.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions how Sulaiman alayhi salam sends a letter. He wants to see, is this bird telling the truth or not? He says, we will soon know. So he sends a letter. This letter says, إِنَّهُ مِن سُلَيْمَانَ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ أَلَّا تَعْلُوا عَلَيَّ وَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. Basically, this is from Sulaiman alayhi salam, beginning in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الرحمن الرحيم. He then says that, come to me, أَلَّا تَعْلُوا عَلَيَّ. Basically, you know, don't rebel. Don't reject, and come to me as submitters and Muslimin. After that, we find this queen, after getting the letter, she asks those who are around her, her advisors, she asks for their advice. What should we do? Some of them mention that if you want to go to war, we can go to war. We also are a very strong nation. And she thinks, and she chooses to send some gifts to Sulaiman alayhi salam. She doesn't know Sulaiman alayhi salam has everything. From this, what we learn, it's mentioned at the time that some of the kings, when they would attack, the people in other kingdoms would give them gifts. And then they would know what type of intention they had. If they just wanted more kingdom, usually you would find that these people, when the gifts or the wealth came, then they would sit back, they would leave them, as long as they had something more to eat or some more ni'mah or bounty. So this queen wanted to test Sulaiman alayhi salam. What type of a king, what type of a leader is he? And I think what we learn from this is sometimes people try to gift you a lot of things, especially when you're in a place of, you know, a position where you might be heard, you may have a following, you might have a position. People try to gift you things in order to test you, in order to bribe you, in order to, you know, get something else done. And I think we should be very aware of this.
Yes, that's a powerful point, because generally we see gifts as something good, whereas sometimes the intentions behind a gift, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, you know, what they are. And we don't question those intentions, but sometimes it's better not to accept a gift. There's more benefit in not accepting it than there is in taking that gift. What I find amazing is that the same point where she sends a gift to him, وَإِنِّي مُرْسِلَةٌ إِلَيْهِمْ بِهَدِيَّةٍ, I'm sending a gift to them. فَنَظِرَةٌ بِمَا يَرْجِعُ الْمُرْسَلُونَ, so I will see what the people, the messengers that I have sent, what they will come back with. Now, instead of just going head on into war, she tries to diffuse the situation by sending a gift. Sometimes you have an argument or a talk that is on the brink of becoming really bad, or it's on the brink of blowing out of proportion. Try to diffuse the situation. Don't let it escalate and go further. If you can get away with just a small gesture or something, perhaps you just put your hand out and say, look, I'd rather shake your hand. That might be the gesture. Any gesture to diffuse the situation at that time, because sometimes what you're arguing about is so trivial that when you look at it later, you say, hey, what were we arguing about? What were we fighting about? There's no point in, there was no even substance to our argument there. But if you let it escalate, you might say things that are so bad, and the situation might become so bad that it literally reaches a point where you feel it's of no return, you can't go back now. So rather than letting it get there, just say, you know, here's something, or diffuse the situation in whatever way possible and let it go. It's not worth fighting over these something sometimes.
A very powerful point taken from very deep reflection, mashallah. As you mentioned that, you know, sometimes it's better to just diffuse the situation where you can. You know what, just move on. There's no point wasting a lot of time or a lot of time behind such trivial matters. We did speak about gifts. We mentioned at the beginning that gifts, yes, somebody must be careful. At the same time, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did accept gifts. He, you know, he gave out gifts or he gave things to other people also. I think there's a balance that needs to be put there. We're not saying don't take fully. We're not saying take fully. We're saying that, you know, sometimes you're in a place of position. You have to realize that is somebody giving me this gift because I'm, let's say, working in a government office, for example, and they just want me to do them a favor. Or I'm in a place where I can spin or I can turn the tables for them unjustly. I think that's important for us to realize. Am I being this gift? Am I being given a gift because it's me or because somebody wants something that I have or behind me? And is this just or not? Another important point, as we mentioned, is sometimes if we take a lot of things from people, then when it comes to the truth, when it comes to our principles, if this person does something wrong, then we can't really say anything because at the end of the day, that's the hand that fed you or it's somebody who gave you you know, some sort of favor and you can't really reject it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, go on.
Okay, the same point or we can move on?
No, let's move on. Bismillah.
Okay. Moving on, Sulaiman alayhi salam tells these messengers who came with the gifts that, are you trying to give me gifts? What Allah has given me is much better than what you have. So basically, these gifts are not going to work with me. And remember, Sulaiman alayhi salam was a Nabi. He had the message of Allah to convey at the same time. So he's telling these people, if you don't come, we will come then. So eventually, the queen and her people, they are on their way to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman alayhi salam tells the people in his majlis or in his gathering that who will come with her throne all the way from there, all the way from Saba to where we are. So one of them says, or one of the jinn says, that I will go and bring it. قَالَ عِفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِكَ. Before you get up from your position, before you get up, I'll bring that throne to you. وَإِنِّي عَلَيْهِ لَقَوِيٌّ أَمِينٌ. I'm somebody who's very strong. And I'm also honest at the same time. The throne has a lot of jewelry, it has a lot of ornaments, etc. I won't steal anything on the way. I'm very honest. I'll bring it to you. Allah Jalla wa'ala then mentions, imagine, let's just picture this for a while. So somebody tells you to bring something from another country, and this person says, I'll come with it before you get up. Before you get up, could mean before you get up from your chair, before you get up from your usual sitting, whether it's at the end of the day, a short period of time. Imagine what power, what strength, and at what speed. Allah Jalla wa'ala then says that there was a man who was there from amongst them, but he had knowledge when it came to the book. What knowledge did he have? Some say that he had knowledge of the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah knows best. He told Sulaiman alayhi salam that I will bring this throne to you, bi-ithnillah, in the blink of an eye, basically, in the blink of an eye. It then came, and this throne was present with Sulaiman alayhi salam before the queen arrives. What does Sulaiman alayhi salam say? Does Sulaiman alayhi salam say, oh, mashallah, you know, I've got a big army and I'm very strong and, you know, we will crush them and defeat them? No, he's humble. He says that all this Allah has given me, لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ, to see if I am grateful or will I reject his bounties. So I think it's important for us, firstly, look at how this person had knowledge. And sometimes knowledge, in fact, a lot of the times, knowledge in these cases, especially knowledge of the book of Allah, knowledge of the Quran, knowledge of the Sunnah, it always, you know, trumps just, I wouldn't say trump, but it always, you know, overpowers strength. And yes, a combination of these two is important.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. You know, earlier on where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ أَيُّكُمْ يَأْتِينِ بِعَرْشِهَا قَبْلَ أَن يَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam says that, oh people, who will come to me, who will bring the throne to me, her throne to me, before she comes in submission. Now, she was coming in submission anyways. So why is Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam asking for the throne to be brought before before him. I feel that there's a lesson in this. So he wants to display to her that, look, the power of the being whom I'm, worshipping is the greatest. You know, he has the greatest of power, and he's given me some authority in the land, so I'm able to do this. So this was literally a display of how, what he could do based on his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also a form of da'wah in a way, if you look at it, because she was coming, she'd see her throne there, all of a sudden it's there, hey, what's going on? You know, it puts him in a position where he can now call her to Islam and she'll perhaps accept the message.
Amazing point you derived from there. Shekhana, is there anything else you'd like to mention in this story? Any other things?
There were one, two more points, because subhanAllah, I find this story very amazing. This and Surah Yusuf is something that I really enjoy looking into and pondering over. So her answer, when Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam says that, نَكِّرُوا لَهَا عَرْشَهَا نَنْظُرُوا أَتَهْتَدِي أَمْ تَكُونُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَهْتَدُونَ. Disguise her throne for her. We will see whether she will be guided or she will be from those who are not guided. So, you know, he was testing her intelligence before asking her some important questions. He wants to see how will she be able to recognize or not recognize. And her answer is also very intelligent. She says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْ قِيلَ أَهَكَذَا عَرْشُكَ. When she came, then she was asked that, is this how your throne is? So she says, كَأَنَّهُ هُ. It is as though it is. She didn't respond by saying yes or no, but she gave a generalized answer where perhaps maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but it's as though it is. So this is something that we can learn from. You don't have to always answer by saying yes, no. You can give an ambiguous answer for a particular reason. Why? Because I don't need to answer this properly right now. Let's leave it ambiguous. Maybe there's harm if I answer it clearly and openly. There'll be a lot of harm. So let me remain silent. You know, there's a mention of how some of the scholars of the past, where when there was a fitna, where they were saying the Quran is created, then the people would ask them, or the leaders, or those in charge would ask them that, is the Quran created or not? And they would say, no, it's not created. So they would be punished. But some of them who wanted to, divert the attention of the people or disguise their answers, what they would do is they would lift up their hands and say, you see, the Quran, the Torah, the Zabur, the Injil, and the books of the past, these are all created, and point to their fingers. So they were talking about their fingers, yet the person who was questioning, they thought that this person is talking about the Quran, the Injil, the Torah, etc. So where there's a lot of harm based on your answer, you can be ambiguous, because maybe you will get punished if you answer clearly. Maybe you don't know what's going to happen to you. So you need to remain ambiguous in such a situation. Be calm and be careful and strategic in your answers to these people.
Yes, as you mentioned, look at how this queen, she didn't give a straight answer. She said, it's as though, it's my throne. And I think also what we can add there is sometimes the questions themselves that people ask you, don't base your answer on the question. Sometimes the question itself is wrong. So you would find somebody gives you a choice. They'll say, choose between this and this. It's a possibility you can choose between both. It's a possibility you can choose between more than one thing. So many times we find ourselves, from this, we then find ourselves limited. So sometimes people tell you that when you've got to, achieve a certain goal in life, it's either this way or that way, one or two. Maybe you can take things from both ways. We're not talking about the deen here. We're talking about something in the dunya. Maybe you can take, you can benefit from both ways. You can come up with your own third way of doing it. Who knows? You don't have to be confined to, other people's borders that they've put on, basically these imaginary metaphoric borders. You don't have to be confined by anybody's thinking or what they say, that, it's either this or this, so you choose. It may be something else altogether.
Wallahi, that's so true. You know, the fact that this person is dictating what the question will be like and whether it will be a yes, no answer. Why do you have to confine yourself to their question? That's so true. I didn't even think of that, subhanAllah. You know, later on, the last point, inshallah, I'd like to talk about is where Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, or someone says to her, قِيلَ لَهَا دْخُلِ الصَّرْحِ, enter into the palace. فَلَمَّا رَأَتْهُ حَسِبَتْهُ لُجَّهُ. So when she saw it, she thought it was a body of water. وَكَشَفَتْ عَنْ سَاقَيْهَا. And she opened up her shins. قَالَ إِنَّهُ صَرْحٌ مُمَرَّدٌ مِّن قَوَارِيرٍ. It was then said to her that this is a floor, or it is a palace whose floor is made of glass, right? So she said, قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي وَأَسْلَمْتُ مَعَ سُلَيْمَانَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Indeed, I have wronged myself and I submit with Sulaiman, Lord of the Worlds. So the fact that she saw something and it wasn't really as she saw it is something that we can learn from. So this led her to Islam. In fact, the fact that she saw the body of water and there was a glass on top of it that she couldn't see. Now, in life, you can see the creation. You can see the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, He has the highest of examples. We never similarize Him to anything but to bring it closer to our minds. So perhaps this was the reason. Because immediately after, she says, أَسْلَمْتُ مَعَ سُلَيْمَانِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I have accepted or submitted with Sulaiman the for or to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabb of the worlds. So the fact that she saw this body of water but she didn't see the glass means that there is, for me, what I can take from that is that there are certain situations and scenarios, especially like in this life, we look at the world and you see everything around you, it's all created. You can see the effect of the quality of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He has created. You see the athar, the effects, but you won't see the Creator. He's hidden for now. You can't see Him at all. There'll come a day where that will become clear for you. As soon as she steps onto the glass and she realizes that it's there, she believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for her, perhaps this was a lesson in realizing. And it is said that she used to worship the sun. You know, وَجَدْتُهَا وَقَوْمَهَا يَسْجُدُونَ لِلشَّمْسِ. They used to worship the sun. So they were worshiping that which they could see. Now this became clear to her that, you know, who created the sun in and of itself? This is something that I'm just, you know, gathering from this ayah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Allah knows best. You mentioned such a powerful point. And at the end of the day, as you mentioned, or as you touched on, the most important thing when reading these verses is to then, you know, realize and to understand, what was my purpose? Why did Allah create me? Who is Allah? What are His names? What does He want of me? And bi-ithnillah, your iman increases.
Absolutely, absolutely, Shaykhana.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
No, wallahi, I think I've mentioned a few points.
There's one point I'd like to mention quickly. I know it's a little bit late, but one point quickly.
Please.
In the story of the ant, some of the Mufassirin mentioned that here there's 11 different types of kalam or speech in those small sentences. And I'll just mention four. One of them says, or As-Suyuti rahimahullah, he mentions in his tafsir, he says that this ant, it did four things. He says 11 things, I'll mention four. He says, قَالَتْ namla. This ant calls out, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّمْلِ. So the first thing it's doing is it's calling out to its people, its community, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّمْلِ. وَدُخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ. It then gives an order, you know, enter into your houses. لَا يَحْطِمَنَّكُمْ سُلَيْمَانُ وَجُنُونُ. Then it's telling, it's giving them a, you know, it's saying, it's preventing them from doing something or telling them that make sure this doesn't happen to you. So make sure Sulaiman and his army don't stamp on you. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And it's giving a reason. It's giving a reason for Sulaiman alayhi salam. Basically, you know, giving him an excuse to say that, you know, it's not that he wants to step on you. They're a big army, you're very small, maybe they don't see you and they'll go over you. I think that I found that very amazing what they mentioned. 11 different types of speech we touched on. For those who want the rest, you can go back to the book of tafsir we mentioned.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. That's a very interesting take on that whole situation.
They then go to mention that from this we can learn that, you know, when you call out to people, you know, you must be clear in your message. You must give a quick message. You must tell them if there's an immediate danger, what's coming. You know, you tell them that this is the danger. You also give your reasoning, you know, not just enter into the houses like that. In the same way, when you're addressing anybody else, you know, you tell them, you give them the command clearly. You tell them, you know what, I want you to do this or do that. You tell them the dangers that may be approaching. You know, you have a child, for example, and you say, you know what, don't go out with so-and-so. And you tell them why, you tell them the reasons. Maybe they're on drugs or maybe they have bad habits. Usually when you give a reason, it's more, you know, it's easier to accept. And then you also give a, you know, you mention why this person may be doing this. Maybe they come from a place where the community is different or some difficulty, etc. So I think there's a lot of lessons we derive when in communication from this ant.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, that's so true. Sometimes we, or most of the time, we need a reason for what's happening around us. And especially when children question, at times it becomes difficult to answer their questions. You know, sometimes they ask you very, difficult questions where it's hard to answer in a child's understanding or within their understanding. So, subhanAllah, this is something that we can really learn from. I think not always just brushing them off and just leaving them and saying, hey, you're a child, don't ask. You know, sometimes you need to give them that explanation and allow them to understand in their own way as well.
Yes, especially where that reason is there. Sometimes there are certain things where, you know, we don't really know the wisdom behind them. Sheikhana, is there anything else you'd like to mention? Ameen wa iyyakum, barakallahu feekum, inshallah. Tomorrow we move on to the 20th juz, getting to the last third of the Quran, the last third of Ramadan, the last 10 nights. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all goodness and accept all our good deeds. Ameen. Inshallah, we see you tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.